Let's start first and foremost as far as with the Tennessee Titans. You know, there's still this opening, but there's I don't get the there's like a backlash from the fans saying, okay, when are they going to fill this position? Yeah, they're curious to see what direction they go. Do you feel like is one of these things where Mike Vrabel still trying to figure out whether or not he wants to stay inside the house and promote from within or carefully look at some of the other candidates that are out there before making this final decision?
Well, it certainly could be that taking his time, looking around, trying to figure out exactly what the situation is. They might know exactly who they want and are just in no hurry to make an announcement while they work on other things. You know, we're getting ready to gear up for these, these all-star games. We're, looking at the draft, and, the longer that they go without making an announcement, it kind of makes you think that, maybe it is somebody inside that they're looking at adding, and they're just trying to figure out who, how to, if they promote from within, do they bring somebody else in? I will remind you of this. Last year when Mike Vrabel was building his initial staff, it was pretty quiet. They racked up who they were doing, and they made their announcements as they did. This is exactly how they handled it a year ago.
Teresa Walker joining us again with the Associated Press here in Nashville. You know, as far as, we bring up the draft, Kyler Murray yesterday announcing that he's going to make himself available for the draft, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Oklahoma. I bring this up because if the Titans do select a quarterback in the draft in April, in what round would it shock you as far as first round, second round, third round, at what point as far as the highest possible pick would it shock you if the Titans went that direction and selected a quarterback?
Anything above fourth round. I mean, let's face it, this team is in position. You do have Blaine Gabbert under contract for this season. And, let's face it, I think they've got other needs. Edge rusher, getting another receiver, maybe an offensive lineman, edge rusher. I'm going to say that again, edge rusher. So, they've got some areas that they absolutely can address, interior line maybe, that are kind of ahead the point. I understand the desire to see them maybe go get a quarterback, but, is there really that hurry? I mean, if you're looking at somebody for a backup, they tried it this last year, and it, that didn't work too well, did it? So, fill the other holes that you've got. And you can always go and address that situation next year. Now, the big question that they've got to address with their quarterback over the next few months is, what kind of deal do they do with Marcus Mariota?
I mean, but here's the thing. For the second time in 3 years, Marcus Mariota did not finish the season with the Titans. And so I bring it up because what are your hopes and expectations if you're this organization as far as the front office? If you feel like you have a team that can make a run in the playoffs, get there, and then make a run, I'm sorry, Blaine Gabbert, I don't know who has faith. Does anybody in that locker room have faith in Blaine Gabbert? Are the fans, do they have faith in Blaine Gabbert? I don't see Nick Foles out there is what I'm saying.
Well, let's face it, there's not many teams that have a Nick Foles who can come in like that. And Blaine Gabbert did win you two games in the regular season, which, for a backup coming in, he went, 2-1 as a starter. Not optimal, unfortunately, when the one loss is in the regular season finale with a playoff berth on the line. Maybe here's the tactic, Johnny. Go and improve the rest of the team. Improve the offense around your quarterback. Improve your line. I mean, Andrew Luck was, the questions were, would he be able to throw a ball again at back in August? He goes in and leads them to the postseason and to the second round. Why? Because the offensive line took really good care of him. And strangely enough today, the Colts let their offensive line coach go because Frank Reich wants to bring in one of his guys. So, you protect your quarterback. Cut down the sacks and the hits that he's taking, you're going to improve the chances that he's playing in game 16 to get you into the postseason. And better yet, if you improve at a few spots, and we've been talking about those, wide receiver, improve the offensive line, edge rusher, things like that. If you help make this a better team, and this is a team that was 2 points away, two losses, Buffalo and the Chargers, 1 point losses in each of those from maybe being the division champ and hosting at home. And it doesn't matter if Mariota is not able to play in that final game because, they did say, it sure looked like Russ would have been able to have him ready for the next game. Well, guess what? I remember a couple games where Steve McNair didn't play at the end. Neil Donald got a start. You know, why? So that he could be ready for the postseason. So get the team better. That might fix everything.
Yeah, but Neil Donald, did he not lead the Steelers to the Super Bowl?
Yes, he did.
All right.
And he ended up as a backup. So, you know, but, you know, again, finding those guys out there are not as easy as, you know, finding those guys is a challenge. I mean, you know, if you could go pry Jacoby Brissett away from the Colts, I think you'd like to do that. Of course, now the Colts are saying they're not going to trade him away. Do you spend a fortune just to get your backup quarterback, or do you spend that money, Johnny, as I mentioned, on those other areas, making your entire team better?
I go back to even before Jack Conklin went out. You know, 2017, even with that offensive line underperformed, they were supposed to be, and they told everybody, we're one of the top five offensive lines in all the NFL. They didn't play up to it last year. All these issues with this offensive line certainly can't be because Jack Conklin did not recover from his injury. Certainly that impacted it, but you look at the interior with, you know, the play with whether you're talking about Ben Jones at center and the play with the guards on each side, you know, there's certainly something missing because this unit did not play well as a unit. And it was more than just an injury to Jack Conklin as far as not recovering from his injury that impacted this team. You know, your thoughts on what the Titans need to do as far as their offensive line? Because I'm not going to disagree with you. I think that that's certainly a major need, an issue that has to be addressed.
Well, and here's the thing. They switched. You know, the offensive line that was so good for the previous couple of years under Mike Mularkey, guess what? They changed some of the blocking schemes, had them doing some things differently. Maybe some guys didn't fit in as well as they thought they would. And, you know, maybe it's just a simple matter of getting more time together. Chemistry and communication are crucial on the offensive line. It's one reason why they had been so good and expected to be so good is because they had been together. But, yes, they were being asked to do some certain things differently. And, you know, they obviously had some issues adapting to it. Is it something where just simply spending some more time this offseason and fine-tuning, having everybody healthy, which, yeah, I mean – you know, do you remember how many guys played at right tackle and then, you know, shoot, Taylor Lewan missed a game because of concussion? You know, they were kind of mixing and matching there for a while. And, you know, and at times they weren't what they had been. So they have to get better. It is some of the things that they consider, is it coaching change? We, you know, we're going to have to wait and see how they address it, Johnny. But, you know, let's face it, they've got decisions to make. You know, they've got Josh Klein under contract. I think it's for three more years, and he's going to be making some much better money in the next 3 years over this contract. You know, do you think, well, he can just get better? Quentin Spain's a guy they have to make a decision on. You know, do they extend him and keep him around, or is it time for Corey Levin, you know, a draft pick out of UTC, to get his chance to step into the lineup? The one thing we have seen under John Robinson is that he's trying to create as much competition as possible. You know, we just don't know what would have happened if Kevin Pampiel had managed to stay healthy and unfortunately had a season-ending injury in September. You know, would they have maybe pushed some pieces around? We're going to just – I know this isn't the answer anyone wants to hear, but we're going to have to stay tuned because, you know, the moves that they make over the next couple of months are going to tell us an awful lot about what they really think about those linemen.
I was doing the math yesterday, looking at, you know, this run the Patriots have done, the fact that for the eighth straight year they find themselves in the AFC Championship, and the fact that, you know, we often talk about the NFL, a league that's built on parity, to the point where if you're lousy this year, within 2 years, you should be really flirting with a playoff spot, right? If you look at the NFC side, 16 possible spots in the last 8 years, you know, two teams each year times eight, 16, right? 11 of the 16 teams in the NFC have found themselves at least once in the NFC title game. Look at the ledger on the AFC side. Because of this domination by the Patriots taking eight of those 16 spots, only seven of the 16 teams on the AFC side have been in an AFC title game in the last 8 years. Houston, Tennessee, the two teams in the AFC South that have not been in there. And then you can imagine Buffalo, Miami, the Jets, all three of those teams from the AFC East, because of New England's domination, they have yet to find themselves there as well.
Well, I know it just seems undemocratic, right, to kind of funnel a line from Bull Durham. You know, it's more democratic when everyone gets a chance. maybe that's why people just can't stand the New England Patriots unless you happen to be from the New England area. So, but, you know, that's what's so interesting. Out of all the games that they've played, all the playoff games, the eighth time that they are going to be playing away from Foxborough on Sunday, having to go to the Chiefs, cold weather, they're 3-4 under Belichick and Brady on the road in the postseason. So they're either going to get to 500 and go back to the Super Bowl yet again, or they're going to be going home and everyone will can go back to writing the stories about maybe the end is finally nigh. So I can't wait to tune in for this game. It's going to be cold as all get out. You know, the Titans played a really, 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 really cold game in December there a couple seasons ago under Mike Mularkey. And, you know, the Titans certainly were one of the – and played one of the coldest games in Foxborough back in the 2003 season. Got to stop for a second. They're starting to roll together a little bit, Johnny. But, you know, this is going to be – you know, can Patrick Mahomes do what he does in the cold? And, you know, Tom Brady, can they keep riding that? Nobody thinks we can do it because we're, you know, we're at the end. Can they keep riding that? I want to see. You know, they've been so good for so long. You know, you got to look for some sort of motivation at some point. But, you know, Andy Reid, he's trying to make up for an awful long period of playoff failures there in Kansas City. Let's face it, the way they played this year, you know, getting to the championship game is nice. They want more. So I can't wait for that game.
Yeah, help me understand this. Let's see. New Orleans playing at home, indoors in the Superdome, and that's the afternoon game. And this cold, chilly night in Kansas City. Yeah, that'll be the night game. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it's TV, baby. I mean, that's why they had the Titans and the Patriots on at night. On a very, very, very frigid night. Man, it was so cold that, you know, I started coughing just walking in my car. Couldn't stop coughing because it was just that cold.
We look at the Preds tonight. A long six-game road trip finally came to an end on Sunday. Unfortunately for the Predators, it was lost to Carolina. The interaction tonight at home, off of they've lost two straight. But because of their, you know, you look at the road trip as a whole, and certainly was very productive. The Predators find themselves 2 points behind Winnipeg, despite all of those injuries. But you look at the treading the water, per se, as they battled through this injury bug situation that impacted this team for several weeks. But entering action tonight, they find themselves 2 points behind Winnipeg as far as in the division, both teams in action at home tonight.
Well, the biggest thing is they're home. I know that they flew home after the last game, and you know they had Friday off, and then you know practice on Saturday before flying to Carolina. But you know they've been away a long, long time. And let's face it, this is a team that you know as well as they've done on the road over the last few years. They have a connection with that crowd in Bridgestone Arena, and more importantly, they got Philip Forsberg back. Now it looks like Yannick Weber's sliding back into the lineup, if not tonight, by Thursday night, surely. And that's the thing, Johnny. They're back home, but they're getting healthy. You know, we've seen Victor Arvidsson's really starting to get clicking. Colton Sisson certainly seems to have picked up where he left off now that he's back in the lineup. And Forsberg, you know, two goals on Sunday. Not enough to get him a win, but, you know, when he's putting together goals like that, and, you know, the one between his legs was just, are you kidding me? So that's the thing. We're seeing those kind of plays happen, and, you know, that's what they need. They just need to be together and start getting back into a rhythm. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, at the end of the month, they've got their break and the All-Star game, and, you know, we'll see, you know, how much they rest up and, you know, how much of a little bit of a wall that is for them to get over. But being together, being healthy, that's kind of what they need. That and, you know, the time that they're spending on the power play, get that back clicking. We know it can be much better. We've seen it executed at a higher level. It's time for them to start, you know, making that produce.
At least, you know, go back to December, there was a stretch there. They lost six straight. A lot of it was because of their woes on the road. And then they go through a stretch where they win five out of six, leading into this two-game losing streak when they take the ice tonight at Bridgestone Arena. At least they're consistent from that standpoint. But I'm sure everybody wants to see more of the five out of six instead of the two- or three-game losing streaks, per se.
Well, absolutely, and that's the thing. When you can have more streaks and get on some runs and do some things. You may not be able to do what the Tampa Bay Lightning have done over the last few weeks, but, you know, you can certainly get clicking again. And here's the thing. they're still in the top 10 in the NHL. You know, people are, you know, worried and panicked, and it's not like they've, you know, skidded to the bottom of the standings.
Right.
You know, they haven't done what Colorado's been doing lately. So, you know, they're in fairly good position. They really just needed to heal up. And then once they heal up, then we'll see if they can get that power play going, because, you know, that's the thing that has to start clicking. But I truly think, Johnny, getting guys back in the line, back on the ice, is going to be the thing that gets things clicking fast, most of all.
Is there a team that you're, you know, because we talk about Winnipeg leading the way with 60 points. There's Nashville with 58. And then tie for third is Colorado and Dallas at 50. Whether it's those two or Minnesota making a run, which team do both Winnipeg and Nashville, do they need to be concerned about that could be nipping at their heels in another month or so?
They only need to be concerned about themselves, Johnny. Take care of their business. Play the way we've seen
them. See, that was like an 80-mile-per-hour fastball right over the middle of the plate. I was hoping you would go in that direction.
Well, that's the thing. That's the only thing they can worry about. If you start worrying about standings, and I understand that, everybody wants to check the standings, want to see where they're at, start thinking about playoffs. It's January 15th. Literally, the only thing they have to worry about is getting out on the ice, you know, clicking, getting the chemistry back to where we saw it in October and November before the injury started, making sure that people are improving and being on the ice together and getting the power play going. Tweak some penalty kill, get a little bit better there. But, you know, you start scoring on the power play and getting these guys going, that's literally all they need to do. Worry about your own game. The opponent that they're facing in the postseason could change in the last week of the season. Don't go looking at the standings that way. Not yet. Too early.
I go back a period of time keeping up with the Tennessee Vols back in the day with Ray Mears as head coach and Bernard King, the Bernie and Ernie shows, and we watched this Tennessee team, and you know, you think about this program that's never made a Final Four appearance, but this team, you know, just what they did last week, they go on the road, they find themselves down against Missouri early on, and you know, facing an obstacle, an early test. Well, by halftime, they've already taken the lead and they cruise to the win, and then a nice job being able to be challenged by Florida in Gainesville on Saturday, still find a way to get it done. And I wonder what the ceiling is. I mean, are we truly talking about a historic run here for Tennessee? I mean, they've got a lot of tests still to pass as far as this regular season before you even get to postseason play. But I love what I'm seeing, especially the fact that they don't necessarily rely on one or two individuals. I look at the bench play where on any given night we're talking about almost 40% of the productivity as far as offensive-wise coming from that bench.
I'll say this. Yes, they are absolutely a team that could do what Tennessee fans probably haven't thought possible for the basketball team. I mean, you know, that's the thing. You've got an experienced coach in Rick Barnes. You've got a deep, experienced team. Every March when we talk about what Rick Bird's doing over at Belmont when they're going into the tournament, what do we say? You usually got an experienced team. Well, that's exactly what Rick Barnes has got. You know, especially with the return of Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams. I mean, you look across the line, you know, if Williams fouls out, you've got Schofield who can step up. You know, was it Bowden who came through with 12 straight points at Florida when they were trying to pull out that game? You know, you can't focus on just one or two guys on that lineup, you know, and take them out of the game and be okay. So, you know, he's got a lot of depth on that roster. And better yet, this is a team that, you know, it's almost easy to forget. A year ago, this is the team that was picked to finish, 13th, 14th in the SEC, and they were co-SEC champions, and all they've done is seemingly get better. And, yes, I know when we get to March, there's going to be a lot of reminders about Sister Jean and what happened in the tournament, but guess what? That just might be the thing that provides the motivation. You know, yes, they're third in the nation with Duke losing last night. Maybe they move up to two. Maybe they go up to one. In the AP poll Monday, they got – I think it was 13 first-place votes. Michigan got 9.
Yeah, they're getting – in both polls, they're going – before what happened to Duke last night, they were getting the second-most first-place votes in both polls.
Exactly. So that's the thing. This is a team that, you know, people are paying attention to. Gary Parrish has been voting them in his AP poll, you know, that he's been tweeting out number one for a while now. So, and they seem to be able to, you know, handle the attention and the focus. I know Rick Barnes didn't want them really chomping at the student section after that win in Florida, but, you know, that's the thing. This team seems to be able to handle you know, all the attention that's coming their way. Now, you get to number one, shoot, maybe it's on Monday, and we see that a number one team coming into Memorial Gym next week. But, you know, they seem to be, you know, eager to try to show what they can do this season. So, you know, absolutely, a number one seed in March, it's on the table. It's possible. And, you know, guess what? There's no reason in the world why this team cannot make a run that's, you know, let's face it, when Rick Barnes was hired, I can't imagine there was anyone thinking that this team would be in position to do that with Rick Barnes. And he's managed to come through and surprise pretty much everybody.